news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, the United States set another single-day record for coronavirus cases on Tuesday, 67,000. Infection rates are accelerating worldwide, with cases soaring by more than a million in just 5 days. As a result, the borders between the U.S. and Mexico and Canada will now remain closed to non-essential travel through at least late August. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's also willing to delay the congressional recess scheduled for August to get another relief bill in the can. Meanwhile, the Trump administration quietly changed how hospitals are required to send COVID case info to the government, ordering them to bypass the Centers for Disease Control in favor of the Department of Health and Human Services. Beginning Wednesday, the numbers of available beds in intensive care units, patients on ventilators, stockpiles of PPE, and many other data points will be collected daily by a department more closely aligned with the White House. A move that has frankly alarmed public health experts who fear the data will be distorted for political gain. You think? Florida, the new epicenter of the outbreak, reported Tuesday that it had 132 coronavirus deaths in the previous 24 hours. That is a single-day record for the state. The previous high of 120 deaths was reported last Thursday. Hospitalizations also reached record levels, as Florida confirmed nearly 10,000 new cases on Tuesday, bringing its total to 291,629. North Carolina, Alabama, Nevada, and Utah also reported record fatalities on Tuesday as the nationwide death toll passed 136,000. CDC Director Robert Redfield said Tuesday that if everyone in the United States wore face masks, the coronavirus would be, quote, under control within 1 to 2 months. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden on Tuesday unveiled a proposed $2 trillion plan to rebuild cities and towns across the country by investing in clean energy. His proposal would put the country on track to cut its carbon footprint in half by 2035. The plan was released a week after a task force jointly created by Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders proposed eliminating carbon emissions from power plants by 2035. Meanwhile, Donald Trump spoke Tuesday from the Rose Garden in an event promoted as a news conference, though it actually was more of a campaign rally ramble. Trump did announce sanctions punishing China for its treatment of Hong Kong, but spent most of the event attacking Joe Biden. Seriously. In what some analysts described as a replacement for a postponed New Hampshire campaign rally that didn't happen on Saturday, Trump said that the $2 trillion climate plan that Biden announced earlier in the day was part of a, quote, hard left crusade against American energy, breaking with a presidential tradition to avoid overt campaigning from the White House. Trump went in full campaign mode, criticizing Biden's positions on the U.S. military, immigration, and China, causing commentators on all the networks to chime in on what they saw, and in some cases, to cut away, like CNN.
So Joe Biden and President Obama freely allowed China to pillage our factories, plunder our communities, and steal our most precious secrets.
All right, we're going to continue to monitor the President of the United States. He's clearly deteriorating into a campaign-type speech going after the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden. We're going to continue to monitor what the president's been saying. Once he gets to the questions and answers, assuming he takes reporters' questions, we'll get back to that speech.
CNN's Jim Acosta afterwards said, quote, Trump soiled the White House Rose Garden with that performance. Presidents do not use the Rose Garden in that kind of naked political fashion. That was not a press conference, as the White House described it. It was a campaign rally disguised as a press conference. It was a bait and switch. At the New York Times, Peter Baker wrote, quote, even for a president who rarely sticks to the script and wanders from thought to thought, it was one of the most rambling performances of his presidency. And over on Fox News, here's what Brett Baer had to say when he cut away.
Presidents in the past, by tradition, have stayed away from overt campaign rhetoric from the Rose Garden or the White House, but it is the president's discretion. It is worth noting, however, to be fair, that had President Obama made this kind of speech from the Rose Garden, Republicans on Capitol Hill would likely have been up in arms.
In an interview with CBS's Catherine Herridge, Trump rejected complaints of police violence against black people with a stunning answer.
Let's talk about George Floyd. You said George Floyd's death was a terrible thing.
Terrible.
Why are African Americans still dying at the hands of law enforcement in this country?
And so are white people. So are white people. What a terrible question to ask. So are white people. More white people, by the way. More white people.
Wow. Just wow. Tuesday was primary day in Alabama and Maine, and runoffs were also held in Texas. In Alabama, Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn football coach who was endorsed by Trump, defeated former Attorney General Jeff Sessions in Alabama's Republican Senate primary runoff with 60.7% of the vote to Sessions' 39.3%. Sessions held this Senate seat for 20 years before leaving to join Trump's administration. Tuberville, who's never run for political office before, will now face Senator Doug Jones, who won a special election to replace Sessions and is considered the most vulnerable Senate Democrat facing re-election in November. In Maine, Susan Collins, Democratic challenger, is officially Maine's House Speaker Sarah Gideon, who had a huge fundraising haul. And Texas went kind of progressive. They handed two primary victories to progressives Candace Valenzuela and Mike Siegel over centrist opponents for the chance to flip Republican-held suburban districts. Ghislaine Maxwell pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to helping accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein recruit and abuse girls as young as 14. Maxwell was denied bail and ordered to remain in jail until her trial, which is now set for July 12, 2021. And finally, the Supreme Court announced Tuesday that 87-year-old Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg went to a hospital in Washington on Monday night after experiencing fever and chills. She then underwent a procedure at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore Tuesday afternoon to clean out a bile duct stent that was placed last August when she was treated for a cancerous tumor on her pancreas. The statement said the justice is resting comfortably and will stay in the hospital for a few days to receive intravenous antibiotic treatment. And the world is a giant prayer circle. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.